Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 58 for December 4th.
Hi everyone, welcome to...
We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes that I post on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I have put the list together of what was requested, and you should be seeing that on your screen now while I'm talking, and we will get through as many of those as we can. My name is David Cosmeter, and I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. I put this show together with Dean Jenkins of Follow Me Trades, but he's off this week as moderator, and I have Michael Filigera here to moderate, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
And good afternoon, everybody, and thank you, David. And today we have Jim Kenny from, Jim, I forgot. I know you do trader advising.
Option professor.
Thank you. Optionprofessor.com. My apologies. Okay. And we also have Christian Fromhertz. And Christian, just remind me who you're with again?
The Tribeca Trade Group.
There we go. Thank you very much. I normally have those right at the tip of my tongue, but today they kind of went away. Could have been all this activity in the markets. So what we'd like to do is I'm going to start with that. We'll do it round robin. And Jim, you go first, and then Christian come in after that, and then myself. And let's start with a little intro, who we are, who we're with, and maybe what we do.
I'm Jim Kenny. I provide content to the optionprofessor.com. Option Professor has 7 educational DVDs to educate you on the uses and risks of the option market, using options for a variety of purposes, including hedging your position against market advances or declines, as well as cash flow creating strategies on the writing side and limited risk speculation on the buy side. And every week I have a podcast that I invite everybody to go to, which you can get at optionprofessor.com. You can get the link, and I update you on a wide variety of markets every Friday afternoon.
Thank you very much. Christian.
Yeah, sure. And thanks for having me on the show again. It's nice to be back on, and especially after a day like this, to kind of go over and digest some of the charts. But my name is Christian Fromhertz. I run the Tribeca Trade Group. I was an institutional trader for a number of years at the Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Traded through dot-com bubble, traded through the financial crisis. So days like this kind of remind me of the volatility that we saw back in the financial crisis. But we could talk more about that. But what I do at the Tribeca Trade Group is run an all-day trading room, really try to get retail traders ahead of the curve in terms of what we're seeing in terms of institutional flow, both on the cash side as well as the option flow side, which really gave us a good heads up today. A lot of put buying today early on in the day. And again, really look to see where the trend is going, both in U.S. markets and in international abroad. So I'm happy to be on the show again, and look forward to going through some charts.
And thank you very much. And again, I'm Michael Filigera. I'm with LogicalSignals.com. That is my own website. And right now it's kind of static. It's not really doing very much. I've been involved in helping a former member of my trade room get her trade room going. And now she's also developing some tools and some strategies and to put it into an auto trader. And we're working hard on that and preparing to just launch a bunch of things in January of 2019, which is going to happen right around the corner. I have been involved in the market since 1979. I have traded as a options market maker here in San Francisco at the London Traded Options Market, the European Options Exchange, and also on the Deutsche Terminbörse in Germany before returning back to San Francisco. Right now, though, I focus on day trading, and I day trade futures. And so a lot of the stocks that we're going to talk about today are big parts of the indexes that also get traded very heavily. So let's get started on today, see how many of the stocks that folks have sent in we can get through. It was a very, very big down day again today. And after having the rally that we saw yesterday, it was pretty incredible just to see that whole thing get reversed on the same vein or in the same note as why they popped it higher. And that was in the hopes that the trade war between the United States and China would ease or end. And I guess there's something came out today that basically put the kibosh on any forward movement and that the things were going to be resolved, and the sellers came out in mass. Jim and Christian, we all have our ideas on why this all took place, how it took place, but I'm going to save that and let's just kind of start to go through these stocks. So again, we'll do it round robin, and I'm glad, Christian, that you have your charts out. So I'm going to ask Christian, if you wouldn't mind just going ahead and sharing your screen and then leaving it up so that we can go ahead and see that. And we're going to start with Bank of America, and I'm just going to switch the order, Jim, so that we can get that chart up and go with Christian. So Christian, if you can start and then just go ahead and put your chart up, because I see you've got it there, and then go ahead and tell us what you think about Bank of America.
Yeah, cool. Let me just get the right, let's start. Well, with all these, I think we were commenting earlier about, you know, how a lot of these charts are going to be a little bit difficult today after the move. But let's look at the weekly chart first, which we have a developing bar. Obviously, we've got a holiday tomorrow and a couple of days, was it Thursday and Friday, we have left. But it looks like a pretty bearish engulfing bar that I see in BAC. It's pretty much taken out all of last week. So yeah, that looks like, if we close here for the week on the weekly, I would think that we could see some more of a move down. Your support that I see, I use value areas on my charts, which really give me a good heads up. It's volume at price, and I get a value area that's based on last year on the weekly bar, and it really gives you some good support and resistance levels. So 25.13 is where I would see the next support. And that's on the weekly chart. On the daily chart, also obviously big red bar today. Failure, just like we had in the S&P, failure to kind of get above this range of what we've been doing for the last, 2 months. So I would say that's a failure to go higher and take out these previous highs. And it looks like we might be headed back for this low. And if we break that low that we saw in October, then I would look at the level that I just mentioned on the weekly chart, which is, what did I say, 25.16? Call it 25.15 would be your support there for the Bank of America.
Great. Thank you very much. And go ahead and leave that chart. And Jim.
Yeah, basically, much of it is similar to what you just heard. A couple of different things here is that we had a double top around 29, and we do have the moving averages crossing. 50-day is at 28.35. Your 200-day is at 29.90. So you got the 50 under the 200-day, never a good thing. And it does have support at the 52-week low, I guess, at 25.88. And then that number of 25.13, I'm definitely endorsing, because it is also corresponds to the high points of mid to late 2017. So this thing took off when it broke above 25, and now it's coming back down toward it. You know, again, in a day like today, everybody gets like the world's coming to an end. There are a few things that I'm watching that, lead me to believe that you have to be careful getting too negative just because it's dropping. Again, the VIX is still under 25. If we were to break above 25 on the VIX, that would make me much more nervous. And then, of course, the front end, the treasuries are still holding in there pretty good with the 2-year at 280. But the fact that the 2 is above the 5 obviously is hurting the banks because of their loan long and pay short. So their margins went out the window a little bit, and that's why obviously some of these banks. But if anybody is any going to be correct on these banks, I don't think you're going to be able to blow out 25 on Bank of America unless they're in entire forecast is wrong. This thing should hold 25 if they have any hope of this, I think, returning back up.
Thank you. I do not disagree with what you've presented, actually with what either one of you have presented thus far. I again also see the double top at the 29 area, but one add that I have is that, you know, we almost could have a double bottom right there at today's lows, which was 26.73. Now, having seen that, it leaves kind of a very weird picture for me, and I'm using my daily chart on this one, that if it ceases to go lower anymore and turns and starts to rally back up, we do stand a chance that this thing could get back up above 29 before an additional severe downside will happen. Now, that's just on pattern recognition. That's not on anything to say that this is what's going to happen, because I do feel that the markets are going to continue to head lower. My take on Bank of America is that if it were to break above 27.5, then we're looking at the possibility that it's going to just continue higher and complete a little bit of a larger pattern, an ABC pattern up, with what I'm talking about right now, this little three wave down, double top, double bottom, being the B wave, being the center part of it. And then there's an additional rally. If that is not the case, and this is now just going to start continuing to go down, I think we begin to accelerate even more than what we saw today. And if that's the case, I don't think 2588 will contain it. And then it would be questionable as to whether 2513 could contain it. Now, I agree with both of those points being points of support, and 2513 should be a strong point of support. So if these levels start to break down, and when we're talking about breaking through them, it can't just be by a tick or two. It can't be by even a nickel. They have to really, they break through and they just keep going as if it didn't exist. That would signify that there's some serious selling taking place. And usually if it's going to be at that intense level, it's got to be associated with some type of news. Something is happening either within the country, within finance, or somewhere that's really going to just trigger this massive bail. Everybody's getting out. I did see a little bit of that, what appeared to be that today. And, I just thought they're just hitting any bid that they can get their hands on. And that's what it appeared. But then, when the buyers come back in, they're just taking every offer that they can get. So I can balance that out. But Bank of America, I think, continues to head lower. First stop would be 2588, and that they could do on Thursday, or it may even do it overnight. We don't know. Again, as was already mentioned, the markets are closed tomorrow. And so we'll see what happens on Thursday as far as Bank of America. But I've definitely been looking for 2588, and then I actually would be looking for 25 before all is said and done on this. Next up, we have Chipotle, symbol CMG, and Chipotle Mexican Grill. And I'm going to let, Christian, I'm going to let you jump off on that one.
Yeah, sure. Chipotle, a little bit, if you consider that the S&P was down, 3.2%, and Chipotle was only down 1.5%, I would call that a little bit of relative strength for the day, right? Not that bad, considering how bad and what Qs were down, 3.8%. Mm-hmm. So not all that bad. Looking at the weekly chart, Chipotle's been an interesting name, right? So let's look at the weekly chart first, and then we'll drill into the daily chart. But it's been hanging and kind of chopping around a bit. Support I see for a month longer, because this value area will just be here for another month, is 452.70. And I would look for, this is a developing value area for next year, but somewhere around 488, 489. If we happen to get above there, I think it looks pretty good for a longer, on the longer trend. It's made a move up and it's been consolidating here. And if we'll see that on the daily chart. So let me just bring that up. So we're in value for the month. It's been a bit choppy. We haven't been able to kind of get above this level. It also hasn't been breaking down. So I think at this point for Chipotle, just kind of a wait and see approach. I would wait until this 500 level is taken out for a long, and where I would stop looking at it, or maybe look at it for a short, is if it breaks this 463 on the daily. So right now I think neutral. You got to wait till it shows a little bit of confirmation to the upside or to the downside, considering you got a little bit of a sideways pattern going on.
Okay, good stuff. And Jim.
Yeah, to give you an idea, the volume on Chipotle today is 536,000 shares. Normal for the last 50 days, average is 457. So it's a little bit higher than normal, but nothing to write home about. Conversely, Bank of America was 100 million shares, and it normally goes about 65 million. So they're clearly coming out of the financials in a big way, and not so much on the fast foods. Again, the way I see this thing setting up is that a pretty good amount of short interest in there, 7.7. 7% of the stock is short, and the PE ratio is 6.72. So it doesn't look that. Oh, excuse me. The earnings was six. The PE is at 69. So it's a little bit obviously elevated on the PE. What I would say is that it's a little bit overbought basis the 200-day, which is at 428. So your magic lines as far as the moving averages are 457, which is where I consider to be a lot of support around 450, and that's the 50-day. And then you're 428 down at the 200-day. So you've got some support underneath, and they are inverted to the upside. That's not a bad thing. And on a day where everybody was selling everything, they didn't kill this thing too bad. So, you know, as long as I think on pullbacks towards 450 or 425, that would be where I would be more interested in it. Or like we were saying, if it can take out that 490, which looks like a little bit of a double top right now.
I would agree. Chipotle has never been one of my more favored stocks. And I actually think it's very overbought. And as everybody already has stated, I'm a little bit surprised that it did not drop more than 1.5% versus what we saw taking place in other sectors. And so I think that the choice is that either Chipotle will find support right here, like the 465 to 460 level, and then just continue to move higher, or it's going to play catch up. Someone's going to realize, hey, what happened there? Nobody really went in. And they're going to try to take advantage if that indeed is a stock that they're holding long or that they want to short. I see that the stock, my own personal opinion on this one is that it's going to continue lower. And it's going to test, if not break, below that 200-day moving average. I have it at 429. Jim has it at 428. So we'll call it 428.50. And I think that the stock can definitely go back down below 420 before all is said and done. So I think that's going to do a little bit of catch up here. And again, couldn't tell you what is going to kick it over the border and send it south other than the market continuing to drop precipitously. So again, if it holds, and I like that, you know, above 490, then it, you know, the downside is off for right now, and that it's going to continue and probably break 500 and head up towards, you know, 510 before we saw a larger correction come in. That I don't see, though. I really don't see that. And I'm looking at a daily, and then we also have taken a look at the weekly. Like the point of control, that's, it's kind of just trading sideways because it's between the value high, the value low, and the point of control. And as long as it's going to sit in there and everybody's comfortable with that who trades this particular stock, that's what happens. And that's why we get these sideways move. So either we're going to see somebody who really needs to buy the stock step in, or somebody just going to get out of the stock step in. And that'll probably reset that point of control and those value levels a little bit more down to the downside. And up next, we have NVIDIA, another all-time favorite stock that has taken a severe beating recently, or in the last 2 months. So, Christian, what do you think about NVIDIA?
Yeah, and it's an interesting one to talk about. And it's tough not to be a little bit biased. You know, of course, we're going to go over the technicals here. But I mean, I like the company. I think they're one of the leaders in the semi space. But, you know, looking at this weekly chart just kind of tells you how violent this price action has been to the downside. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, basically what happens sometimes when a name is in an uptrend for a long time. It's great to be in these names while they're in uptrends. You want to stick with the trend, but we've got a clear breakdown in trend, you know, from going, this trend's been going on for a long time. It's been one of the best performers in the whole bull market. So to see this thing break down like this, my opinion for a name that's been in one of these trends for a long time is once it comes out of the trend, you kind of just have to let it base for a while. I know that sometimes retail traders, once they see a name that they've loved for a long time and they see it go down, they want to get right back into it. But for something like this that is really broken trend, I would have said if we would have held on to the top of value for the year, I would have said, okay, well, we've got a support level to trade against, which is 171, but we have not done that. We've actually broke into it, retested it, and actually failed. So It's not a name that I would want to really short because I do think it's a high quality name, but I think the trend is broken for now. And I think you kind of just have to give it some time. It needs to base a lot of the times after these names have been in this, been in a trend for a long time. You don't want to catch a falling knife and you want to wait till it bases for a little while. You could see it also came into the earnings gap and kind of failed that point. So looking at the weekly chart, I think will help a little bit, but I would say, you know, looking at this developing value area, it's probably, if it doesn't open up inside or down here, you know, maybe it's going to be in no man's land. So I think you got to give this thing some time and maybe see this thing go back above 214. And at least if it fills the earnings gap, then you can kind of say, okay, I can go long versus the earnings gap, but I got nothing to really go long against. Either, you know, if you wanted to try, I guess the recent lows, but I think it's a lot of times these names, they bounce and then they go back and they retest. So right. That's what I would say. For, you know, if you did want to play it to the downside, you know, maybe you go short here and look to cover around 133.
Okay. Jim.
Yeah, this goes into one of my category is when any stock gets more than 20, 30, 40, 50% away from its 200-day average, you got to start looking at the other side. And so we're at 241 on the 200-day, and we are at 157. So basically, we are in the region of 35% underneath its 200-day. So at this point, what I would do is I'd be looking for some type of formation, either a daily or a weekly low surrounded by higher lows, and look for some type of activity that could take you up towards 180 to 200, where I think that there would be resistance there, because those were the former lows from earlier this year and the former highs from late last year. So if I was looking at, obviously, this is a an arena here that's been whacked hard, and obviously half price in what? We hit the high on October 2nd, and it's only, what, 60 days away, and it's going for half price. So, you know, I'm not selling things that go to half price in 60 days, particularly they have legitimate products. It's not a you know, Z-Best carpeting, if we can all remember that guy. You know, it's a legitimate company, right? And so it is way down. The PE ratio, according to what I'm seeing, is at 20. So that overvaluation stuff might be off the table now, obviously. And they are making money. And like I say, they are 35% under their 200-day. So if I was to look at this company, I would be waiting for a formation to make me want to either buy some calls or take a shot at the stock.
Right. Now, you made a very good point about
our one last thing is I'd start pricing out the puts and make sure I have enough money to buy the stock in case I was put it. And I'd probably look at this huge valuation down here, a huge devaluation, and see if that volatility has expanded the puts to such where I could sell a 130, 140 or something like that put, get paid a huge amount of premium, maybe even take that put premium and buy calls with it or pocket it as long as it stayed above the strike price. But I'd obviously got to make sure you have enough money to buy the stock if you get put.
That's true. And I think that's actually very, that's what I was going to say, Jim, but thank you for putting that in as a trade suggestion of what somebody might want to do here. But getting back to
that. Not a trade suggestion. It's just a trade. Yeah.
It's just a trade, right. You know, that people could do. I wanted to, though, just kind of go back to overvaluation. And, you know, when we see particularly the tech sector dropping precipitously as we have with Amazon getting beat up, Apple getting beat up, everything that I'm looking at got pretty beat up today. Even Facebook, which started the day higher, got slammed again. And I begin to wonder, when do we begin to try to factor in a re-evaluation of these stocks? And where would you look to come up with that kind of a figure, a number?
Either on NVIDIA, obviously the 100 area looks very interesting between 100 and 110, because that's where it kind of took off from in mid 2017. So that would be a neighborhood to, but I mean, again, at 35% discount to the 200 day, anything between here and 100 would be certainly fertile area to look for some kind of a bounce.
Right. Okay. And it's a tough call. It's a tough question because the market, the valuation is whatever the market's going to bear.
It is a gamble to step in front of this type of selling.
I agree. I agree with that. My own personal feeling on NVIDIA is I agree with what's already been said. And then NVIDIA is a legit company. NVIDIA has product that is needed and necessary in a lot of different places. And so it's not like they're going to become extinct because they're not keeping up with demand in the market. marketplace. I don't see that. I see that it continues to turn good numbers. And therefore, I think that it is just getting caught up in the selling, in the fact that they didn't like the, I guess it was the forward guidance. They didn't like coming out the last earnings report, dropping the stock down. So I think we got that initial bounce off of that, which was just the rebound. And we're going to have one additional leg down, and it might just take us below $130 a share. But then I am going to stand in agreement that down there, you really have to take a hard look at why and what the value of this company is, and then step in. If it's seeming that it's overcooked and overdone, that's when you step in and you get long. I am in 100% agreement with Jim in that if this thing starts to drop back down towards 110 to 100, that's what started the whole rally a couple of years ago. So you'd want to take another hard look there. And then again, everything has to then be put back through the grinder of market conditions at the time. What's going on? Why are they continuing to hit everything hard, if that's the case? So, but I think that when you put it all together, you have to pick out companies that you're going to think that are going to do well or have done well. And there's no reason to believe that once whatever is propelling the market to go in a particular direction changes, how will that benefit a company that has not changed with what they're talking, the reasons that the market goes down. Okay, next up, Tilray. Tilray is a very interesting company. For those that don't know, it is a cannabis. And David and filled me in on all that good stuff. And it was fascinating. Tilray is a company I'm looking at the daily. It has not traded all that long. And I guess I'm finding, let me just go up a weekly and see what I can find here. That's it. The stock came on board at 20. And that was back in, I believe, July. And in September, in one day, it doubled. It ran from 150 to 300 and then came back down, and ever since has just been caught up in a whole bunch of whatever, and today closed at par, closed at 100. So Christian, go ahead and take a stab at this one.
Yeah, sure. So this is, definitely has been a momentum play. This is a name that, had a capitulation high, I would call this. I remember this day when it hit the 300. That was a pretty amazing move. And then it kind of has been selling off since. It's lost the moving averages, right? So this is a nice little company to kind of analyze, because it's gone so much up on momentum. And we've seen, maybe not exactly the cannabis, but we've seen this in a lot of other areas of the market in the last couple of years. We've seen this with blockchain companies. We've seen this with Chinese internet companies. They'll go up on crazy momentum. You'll have a capitulation top, and then it kind of falls apart, right? It reminds me a little bit, maybe Tilray is a little bit of a different animal, but you could look at IQ, for example, right? I mean, everybody was going crazy with this name, and once it reached a high, it's been making lower highs ever since. So if we go back to the Tilray, but I just wanted to show an example, and since then, because I want to talk about the 50-day moving average, because I think that's a really good indicator to use. So before I go back to Tilray, you could see what happened with IQ. Once it broke the 50-day moving average, it tested, failed, tested, failed. And since then, it's been underneath the 50-day moving average. I don't want any part of it. And I'd have to say for Tilray, it's a great name to day trade, because it is volatile as hell, especially with, an announcement that a state, passes the ability to legalize marijuana, and it'll get a bump, right? I mean, it'll move. It'll be a day trade candidate. But it's a newer name. Just as Michael said, it's a newer name, and it's got a new 50-day moving average. For a swing trade or for a long-term position, I don't want any part of it until it gets back above the 50-day moving average. And that's an easy way, I think, to analyze a momentum name and a newer name. Wait till it goes back above the 50, and then use that 50-day moving as your stop. For now, it's just a day trade candidate.
Okay, good stuff. And Jim?
Yeah, this thing's a wild one, huh? $20 in July of 18, $300 in September. Now we're at $100, so... this is a wild one. I am looking at the volume seemingly totally drying up, like people have lost interest in this thing, because the volume when it first came out and when it was going nuts there was off the charts. And the 50-day volume is 4.3 million shares average, and the 200-day average volume is 6.5 million. So that's falling off a cliff just there. But if you want to hear about falling off a cliff, today it only did 841,000 shares. So people seem to have left town on this thing. Either A, they got wiped wiped out when it went from 300 back to 100, or they got wiped out when they were short and went up to 300. Either way, they definitely left River City here. And I like that 121 number. You know, if you're a gambler, you want to take a shot above 121, that would be an area where it might be getting on the bicycle. They do have limited risk options. I don't know how liquid they are or how tight the bid offers are. But with this type of thing, you'd either want to be a buyer and never sell it because you're just in there for the long run and you hope they're going to be there at the end, or use limited risk options to gamble in it.
Okay. I don't necessarily really have an opinion on this stock. I can look at the chart as we have been and basically say I think it has to go below 80 at a minimum before it completes the pattern that's been in progress. And it could just drop another $20 should be fairly easy for the stock, although, you know, it dropped $2.70 today and it's almost 3%. Yeah, almost 3%. And I don't see very much. I think, again, I'm not going to disagree if the stock starts to move higher, but it really has to break 120. This says it really has to break below 100. Otherwise, it's still going to just be in this sideways channel that it's been in since mid-November. So don't hold out a lot of high hopes unless they're going to report stellar, you know, that they've sold a ton of pot. I don't hold out a lot of high hopes for this because I just think there's too much other stuff going on. And that might be the reason that it's just kind of holding without any volume because everybody else is too busy, trying to trade out of Apple and Amazon, and they're not paying attention to what's happening to Tilray at the moment. But I don't have much more to add because there's just not enough data yet. The stock is not that old, but pretty incredible move, I will say that. Next up we have, is that LL? Lowe's? No. LL. Lowe's
Lumber Liquidators.
Yeah. Lumber Liquidators. Okay.
That's an apropos name for this one, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? That's good, Jim. I'm going to write that one down.
I like a giggle now and then. You know?
Yeah, you did. You got me to laugh on that one. Christian, Lumber Liquidators.
Yeah, so we'll start with the weekly chart like we've been doing for each symbol. And my goodness, look at this thing, right? This looks like the pyramids. This thing topped out at 120. Weekly chart, because I did want to take a look to see before I kind of gave my view on the daily chart. But I think this thing looks weak as hell. I would rather put my money in other places. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting my flooring done, and there's no way I would have my floors done by liquidators. I just think it's too much risk. There was actually a decent put buyer that we saw last week, and the name I actually day traded a little bit because I didn't want the exposure. I didn't know why that they were buying puts in it, but it was right before the G20 meeting, so I dumped it. I made a little bit of money on a short in LL. But if we go to, so there is some support over back here, which it looks like it's right in this 10, $11. You know, we're talking about $11 stock. So would I really want to short an $11 stock? Probably not. But the damn thing looks like it's breaking down. So I would want no part of a long here. And if you really wanted to short it, it looks like if you break this, what is this, 10.50 level, I don't see a lot of support going there. I would say avoid or possible short down to who knows where in this thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Jim?
Well, this thing's starting to look a little like a JCPenney or a Sears to me.
Yeah.
So I am not interested in beating a dead horse here.
And that okay.
I thought I was having a little technical difficulty. I don't know,
Jim. We're not getting you through your mic.
You're not getting through the mic now?
A little bit. You're very faint though. Very faint.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, on Lumber Liquidators, you're at a 19 on the 200-day average and it's trading at 11. So that's about what? You know, tremendous amount underneath its average. So it's not something that I would want a whole lot of selling on because it's so oversold. Some of the home stocks like Lennar and Pulte are trying to stabilize and make a turn. I don't know if that would be helpful or not. Mm. But, down here, being 45% underneath its 200-day average, again, it would be, and at 28% short interest, a little crowded on the sell side here. So obviously this thing used to be 40 last year and it's at 11. So like I say, it looks like it's either going to turn into a JCPenney situation, or somebody might come in and take over it because it's so cheap or something. But it definitely, I would be looking to see if it could show me some formation on a weekly basis that would be worth taking a stab at, because it is so oversold. And on throwback rally, the best case on it would be about 20, because that's where I think the resistance would be.
I agree with the throwback, but not necessarily that level. I don't think it can make it back above 18, that myself. The only hope that Lumber Liquidators can actually hold on to right here is that, you know, we had very, very devastating fires here in Northern California and also down in the Malibu area of California, and devastating, where thousands of homes were absolutely incinerated and left in ash. And that rebuilding process will likely begin in earnest at the beginning of 2019. And again, not, you know, I would really play it against, or, you know, having any hope that this, that they might get some of that business and to rebuild based on what was happening in other lumber companies. And outside of that, I don't see anything that's going to tell me that this stock is going anywhere but below 10.
And there could be something internally with the financial structure, because, you know, 80% drop in the stock in a year is a pretty heavy drop. So there might be a story behind the story here, of which I'm unaware.
Right, as I am as well. But I will agree with you 100%. If you are holding Lumber Liquidators long, and you're holding it long from anywhere above 18, it's tax time. And you might just want to go ahead and get out of this and use the proceeds to put it into something that will earn you some money and take your loss. Because I just don't see this stock moving up. I don't see it moving up right now. Anything substantial. Not very big on that one. Let's do one more, and then we're going to do a round robin again. But let's do Diageo PLC. It's an ADR. And so it's a British company. And I'm not really sure what they do. Christian, let's start with you again.
Yeah, Diageo. So another beverage company. You know, these guys have been rumored to, you know, kind of go the way of Constellation Brands, who purchased. And Constellation Brands is just, I'll get to Diageo, sorry. Sometimes I go to other stocks. But Constellation Brands just cannot get out of its own way, right? It took this this stake in Canopy, which I think is the right thing for it to do for a business model, right? To get involved in the new trend of the cannabis stocks. But man, this thing is just having a tough time. It looks so, these names look so different, which is why I want to talk about, you know, the chart of DEO. But you look at what Coca-Cola and Pepsi are doing, you know, they're obviously defensive value plays right now, but this Constellation and DEO are just not following the overall trend. To me, it looks a bit sideways. I would think it would be just looking a little bit more constructive, but it looks like a sideways chart to me. For whatever reason, it's just not speaking to me. I see a bearish cross in the MACD. You know, of course, it was down 90 basis points. So again, a little bit of relative strength because it is a defensive beverage company. Mm-hmm. But maybe if it gets back above, I think this was a point for it maybe to kind of climb back above 145, and it didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I think I would get more interested if it gets above 146, and then possibly, you know, onward and outward to new highs. But it is in an uptrend, just a little bit sideways for me.
Where does it break that uptrend?
To kind of continue, I was looking at 146. This is not a name that I would want to short unless it breaks the 200-day moving average. But okay. I think a short in the beverage space right now is not something that I'm looking for. But I would say for a long, I would say above 146.
And I think because I also use the TOS platform, your 200 days at 141.59. Yeah, I see it there. Okay, good stuff. Thank you. And Jim.
Yeah, this one's on a ledge, I would imagine. This 140 area, I think, is going to be very critical for it to hold. I am a little taken back by the volume. You know, it's an $87 billion company, which is no mom and pop operation. Yet the volume is 266,000 shares today, which was well under the 50-day moving average on a volume of 370,000 and the 200-day of 383. So doesn't seem to trade all that many shares. And the share on a day like today, where volume is really coming off. But I mean, there's certain sectors that are getting whacked harder than others. Right. This thing was down at $1.27. It's down a little bit in the aftermarket.
Obviously, could be because it's an ADR too.
Yeah. Okay, that probably it. Yeah. So anyway, but it's just, you know, if you were doing huge size or whatever, you know, that's not a lot of volume. At any rate, what does it look like technically? To me, it looks like it's okay. Breaks under 140, I'd be concerned. And it doesn't seem to move very much anyway, because it's been plus or minus off this 140 number for the whole year. So nobody's getting really rich on this thing this year. And is it distributing here? Well, if we're going to have an economic slowdown in the next 12 to 24 months, you know, this thing probably, you know, might not have a good time of it. Getting above the highs of the middle of the year, which is 151, would make me feel a lot better. And then put, you know, getting a stop under 140, something like that. Because, you know, right now it's kind of in no man's land with a positive bias.
True. I think because it's an ADR, it trades in London because it's PLC. So I'm going to that it trades on the London market. And I would be more interested to see what they do with it after today's US performance, not necessarily in this stock, but just in our broader markets. And if you kind of come in and London has traded this thing down substantially, then you're gonna be able to figure more like what its very near-term future is going to be. I think just from a chart standpoint, it's in the middle of the road. It could easily just turn and go no and go back above 146, completing a pattern that's been in progress off of the October lows, or it's going to go down and test that 200-day moving average, which sits at 141.60. And a break there, and again, folks, it really has to be not just a couple of cents break. It's got to be a break below that 200, because that's going to provide a floor right now, unless they really kind of dive through it. So I would really to see if it sits in between and continues to go sideways, you do nothing. There's nothing to do. But if it drops down and goes through
last thing, the 50 and the 200 day are inverted. So they're inverted to the downside. So breaking under 140 and then putting in play the low for March would be very concerning for this stock. So I'd watch it and I wouldn't get too comfortable. If it started breaking under 140, 135, okay. I think I could be getting into trouble, because again, the 50 is under the 200 day.
Right. Okay. Good point. And thank you very much for that. That's also good. So something else, you know, whoever is looking at this particular stock, keep those points in mind and trying to determine what you may or may not want to do. I know I said I was going to go run Robin, but I see that there's two other stocks here that I really do want to spend a little bit of time on. So we're just going to keep going here for right now. I want to really take a look at the Qs, and then I want to take a look at Boeing. And the reason that I want to look at those two, because both were jammed higher because of the rumor or the thought or the process that the trade war between the US and China was simmering and kind of favoring resolution, et cetera, et cetera. And then today, so that produced yesterday's rally. Then today we get this huge move lower based on the thought that, or somebody stepping out and saying, no, nothing's really being done. In fact, it's not even looking very good at all. And that was enough to just tip the scale, and they came out from everywhere to sell. So let's take a look at the Qs first, and then we'll go over to Boeing. Which I'm going to go ahead and let you start.
Cool, right on. So Qs, yeah, I mean, all around today, I'm pretty a massive, ugly day today. It does feel like, you know, we're doing one step forward and maybe two steps back. Last week was a great week for the market, right? Nice move up. Unfortunately, we kind of got slapped right into the 200-day moving average. It has been making for the last couple months. One observation that you can make is that we are making lower highs at this point. Yeah. You know, we're right back to where we were, you know, mid of last week. So I know it looks, you know, today after seeing, down 3.8%, but we're really back to last week. So I think we got to kind of let this play out a little bit. I think that we could continue to move down to 163 for the rest of the week. And then we'll see what happens. We've got the low that's in here. I think you want to respect that. You know, so first things first, if you're playing to the short side, I would be taking some profits at 163. If we break the value or January here, then I would watch, you know, maybe take some more profits here. And then to the upside, you know, we got to get back over the 200-day moving average and got to get out of making the lower highs. We want to see a new, you know, a trend change in the immediate term. You know, and just my quick viewpoint before I turn it over to you guys is that, hey, this market for now, it could be, you know, I see a lot of people calling for doom and I see a lot of people super bullish too. I mean, it could be that the overall market moves sideways for a bit. And that's kind of where I am right now until we either take out this level and kind of put in a, you know, get over the lower high syndrome, mm-hmm. You know, and then just be mindful of the lows in here. But, you know, I think you mentioned that you do a lot of day trading. This right now is a day trader's paradise if you could really stay objective, mm-hmm. but trying to figure out on a day-to-day, you know, with these turns going on, I think right now you just kind of have to wait until one of those two things happen.
Right. So I will say as a day trader, let me just add in that this volatility is our dream. That's what I live for. But I don't care if it goes up or down. I prefer that it does both. And that's really the day trader's dream. When it's pretty much one-sided, yes, if you're that type of a day trader, then you want to catch it all the way down. But if you're really trading intraday, some things do go straight down, but not very often, at least not on an index level. But thank you, Christian, very much. It was good. I liked it. Jim.
Yeah, well, the Qs are having the same problem that everything has because last week, moderate talk out of the Fed and what was perceived as some kind of a peacemaking thing with Trump, they're both off the table now a little bit. The Fed situation, you know, they're going to have a meeting next week, and if they don't hike, that would really confirm the panic over growth that's permeating. And of course, anything that's not written on paper that has China and Trump in it, you know, it's probably not a good deal. Mm-hmm. So people figured that out, and that's why they unwound. Also, a lot of people selling into what could be a vacuum today because of the holiday tomorrow. So there could have been a huge order imbalance. Well, there obviously was a huge order imbalance and a liquidity problem here today. So that's something. But yeah, I think it's pretty sharp to say that we might very well be in a trading range because, like I told you, we didn't get above 25 on the VIX. So it's not like it looks like it's going to spike to 40 on you. And the unemployment report, we're looking to add 190,000 jobs. At this point in the cycle, with a 3.8 already there, 190 is nothing to sneeze at. So you've got good employment numbers, you've got good pricing power in there. And so, you know, you can't dismiss all that. Things were very overvalued when we were up, you know, at the high points. They took all that overvalued stuff out, particularly on all these NASDAQ stocks like the Amazons, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So all that stuff is in the rearview mirror. And you can't make too much money in the rearview mirror. Having said that, you know, you can't fight the tape and you can't fight the Fed. So this stuff is still definitely under pressure. But the most likely outcome, I would think, is the trading range 150, 175, plus or minus 5 points. And let this, you know, unless this trade thing settle down a little bit and maybe digest another Fed hike next week.
Okay, good stuff. I personally think that the Qs have further to go down. I think that they will find some support around the 157.5 area, but I don't think that that's going to contain it. And I believe that we're going to go down and retest those February lows around the 150 area. Whether that holds is another story, another show. I think that what is going to propel it is the continued revaluation or slamming of tech stocks. The market rose, as we've all said, the end of last week and Sunday and Monday because of what the Fed didn't say or did say, and then the hope for a resolution to the trade wars. Apple today traded 41 million shares down $8. So 41 million is pretty much in line with what we see for Apple. So I can't really go on that, but slamming it down $8 after they took it up that much tells me that whoever bought into it got out. And now they're right back to where, you know, home plate, so to speak. I do believe that the Q's got more to go, because I believe that the tech sector's got more to go to the downside before all is said and done. So again, I'm looking for at least 157.5, and then a break there takes us down to 150. I want to quickly just go over Boeing for that same reason, guys, and then we're going to wrap it up. Boeing got slaughtered today, literally got slaughtered. And this is after yesterday touching just below 370. And today they were getting ready to dip down to 340. These are huge moves, huge moves for this particular stock. And the fact that Boeing was down $17, $17.5 today, that's what propels the Dow as well. It's a big stock in the Dow in terms of weighting. And I'm sure that it probably down 17, probably somewhere around 150 to 200 points in the Dow. So what happens in Boeing is going to happen in the Dow. I'll go ahead and start here, and then we'll just flip over to Christian. In fact, Christian, if you can put up your chart, that would be great. In fact, go ahead, you start. Sorry, we'll keep it in order. So there you go.
Yeah, no worries. I was just looking at what you were talking about, the weighting, right? So, you know, absolutely, it's the biggest weight. Dow, of course, is price weighted. So the highest price stock will get the biggest weighting by default. But it's going to have a huge impact, 9.1%. And just to kind of continue, I completely agree with what you're saying. We are just, you know, in a lot of stocks, right? We are just moving faster and bigger ranges than what we've seen, you know, previously. So it's just a different animal, different atmosphere that we're in right now. And I'll try to be a little bit, I don't know if optimistic is what I would want to be, but yeah, I mean, it got crunched today, right? Down 4.9%. It did go back below the 200-day moving average. So, you know, if you're trading, swing trading, you know, basically you could use that 200-day moving average right now for either going long or going short. We're back below. It looks like we're, you know, I use the short-term moving averages as well, where we just lost the five. But to be slightly optimistic with my view is we're basically just back to where we were, what, on Thursday of last week? Or what we've had today's Tuesday. So we're basically back to Friday. So I know there's a lot of doom and gloom out there with looking at some of the price action today, because it stunk, right? I mean, it was a horrible day. But if you look at some of the names and some of the indices, we're basically just returned back to where we were either in the middle of last week or towards the end of last week. So could it get trickier for Boeing? I think this move, I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say. But to me, I see a big old range right here for now. And, you know, I am mainly a trend trader, and I do like to do a little bit more. You know, obviously this is, as you had said, it's a great market for day traders. So for swing trading, I think you got to let this thing to err on the long side for this thing to get back above value, maybe even get back above this sideways range. You can see I've got a dotted line here around 374, because I've looked at this name a few times now. And if not, if we got a couple more, you know, raindrops to the downside, it could really get dicey. It's a decent move down to 317 is another, 6%, but yeah. We did that we did five in a day. So who knows?
Okay. Thank you. And Jim.
Well, I think the defense areas got whacked here today, because there is a lot of talk that they're going to really start pounding this defense budget, you know, the trillions of dollars and all that stuff they put into it. Right. So that's why the Raytheons, the Northrop Grumman's, these kind of guys, you know, they're going to get hit, and they got hit pretty hard. The big picture here is it's a company that makes a lot of money, and the big picture here is the P/E ratio is at 20, according to what I see. And the big picture here is it's been trading between 300 and 400 all year long. So it is underneath the 50-day and the 200-day, but the 200 and the 50 have not inverted, so it's still basically okay as far as those averages are concerned. And basically you have an outside chance of trying to go back towards that 300 to 320 area and testing that area. If it breaks under 300, and then of course you got the 52-week low from the fourth quarter last year of 275, that's when I would be getting nervous on Boeing, if it takes out the 300. And of course, if we go into next year and they start taking a machete to the defense budget and all that kind of stuff, these people will get whacked. I was in Washington this summer. Boeing's got a huge building down there. I was a little surprised at that, since I know their operations are in Washington. But apparently it's nice to have an office where they're giving you the kind of contracts that they get out of Washington. Washington. So if that's, you know, if that milk train is drying up a little bit, then obviously this company, along with Raytheon and Northrop Grumman, are going to have a tough time.
I would agree. One other factor that I want to toss in, and then I am going to wrap it up for today because we're now sitting right at our timeout. I don't know, you know, today it got a little tighter for Saudi Arabia because of what has now come out from the CIA talking about that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia did in fact monitor that whole assassination. And that's really got a lot of our senators up in arms. And there's a lot of talk about that. But I also understand that and I'm not sure who's supplying that military equipment. I believe some of it is coming from Boeing. But I don't know the size of it, but I want to say like $500 million or maybe even more that they're purchasing in terms of aircraft from the U.S. So I don't know if that's going to come into play. And that may have had an addition to really, hey, it's time to get out of the stock, not only Boeing, but Raytheon and the others that you mentioned, Jim. Personally, for me in this, I think this particular leg down is just beginning. And yes, I would get real nervous. I would be nervous here because on a daily, you're getting a big sell signal. Doesn't mean that it's going to stop and not stop and just continue to go up, but I'm looking all the way back. And when it's given it from this level, it's dropped. And so that just indicates to me that there's going to be additional selling. It when it broke that 200-day moving average today, it slid and it slid fast down an additional $6. So yeah, I think I could get real serious here. And doesn't mean that we won't get intermittent rallies. Doesn't mean that we might not even see an up day of $10. We just might. But I just think that there's additional downside. And I think we break 330. I think we break 310 before all is said and done, and likely break 300. It might put the brakes on down there, but I think we go below it and go below the current low, which in November was 296.60. So anything below that completes a pattern and should put the green light on to step back into the stock. In the meantime, if you're holding a long position, you might want to consider some protection if you want to hang on to it. And we'll kind of leave it at that. There are additional stocks that we really want to, that I would love to talk about, but we just don't have enough time. Again, I'm Michael Filigera. I'm with LogicalSignals.com. You can reach me by just send me an email, Michael@LogicalSignals.com. If you have particular questions you want to ask about the balance of the stocks that were on today's list, please feel free to email me. And I'm sure you're going to hear the same from Christian and from Jim, that we might just be able to throw something in there for you that might be helpful. Again, I want to thank David, and I'm now going to go round robin. We'll start again with Christian and Jim. Let's tie it up and we'll turn it back over to David.
Yeah, sure. You could find me at TribecaTradeGroup.com. You know, what we do on a day-to-day basis is just kind of read the tape a bit. You know, one of the things that I look at on a day-to-day basis is option flow. There's so many guys nowadays who look at option flow. For me, just really gives me a good sense of sentiment, how institutional players are positioning. Are they buying? You know, are they buying calls? Are they buying puts? I mean, you can look at today's blotter. I mean, for the first 2 hours of the day, it was nonstop put buying. The call buyers were completely absent. They were in there last week, but, you know, there's a lot of protection being bought and a lot of speculation. Mostly short-term stuff, but people were looking for a big move to the downside. So in any event, you can find me at TribecaTradeGroup.com. And thanks for having me on the panel. Always fun and great to go over charts with you guys. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. And Jim.
Okay. Every Friday, we do have the market update from optionprofessor.com. So if you go to the website, optionprofessor.com, you can get the link to get you to that podcast. One thing I cover and have covered for decades with anybody who's gone to my seminars is the using of options as a hedge. When the markets are way up and overextended, like Amazon at 2050, the collar strategy combining covered calls and puts would have offset the big decline you were seeing right now, and you'd be sleeping a lot better if you did that when it was way up. Now that it's way down, some of these markets may get you to a point where you might want to dump your stocks and you're not really sure that that's the great idea, but you can't take the financial heat. But you could look towards long-term equity options, the leaps or 1 or 2 year calls, and see what they're priced at and replace some of the stock positions with those long-term options so that at least you've locked in the prices down here while they're down. And then, of course, reduce your cash risk in the market in case this thing is just the beginning of something much, much larger. So using options as a hedge is a big thing. Go to the website, go to the webinar, or email me at optionprofessor@gmail.com. Thanks again for having me.
You're welcome. And folks, I hope you take to heart what Jim is talking about, because using options and also Christian also is talking about it. Using options really does provide protection. And if you're going to sit long and you want to hold on to things, you really need to get in contact with either Christian or Jim, who have the options expertise to kind of help you and maybe just give you a couple of suggestions that might just save your you know what. In any case, thank you both. And thank you, David, for having me in to moderate again today. And we went over. I apologize for that. But I think we could have gone on for another half hour. So I'm going to turn it back over to Dave.
Yeah, it was a great show. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to access the recording of this or any of the past shows. And be sure to join us for both shows next week. And I just want to thank my guests again for this show. Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com, Christian Fromhertz of TribecaTradeGroup.com, and Michael Filigera of LogicalSignals.com. Thanks, everyone.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, David.